Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
We're going to read a very familiar passage of Scripture. We've been reading this Scripture actually three times in our church services because there's just so much in it. And it's the account of Jesus' birth. And we find it in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. And it says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David.'" What a great passage. Do you know, if there's a single word that would describe Christmas, it's a very small word, and it's the word joy. You find it all the way through that account. Tonight, we have been singing carols, and as far as I can tell, almost every carol has got this word joy or joyful in it. For example, "Joy to the world, the..." Oh, you guys are better than the first service. You guys actually sing. I like that. Confident crowd, hey? Okay, let's try this one. What about this one? "Joyful all ye nations, rise..." Man, you guys are on fire. I think you're starting to pick this up. Okay, some of you don't know what I'm trying to do just yet. But we're concentrating on the words joy and joyful. I hear it. Okay. "Oh, come all ye faithful." Joyful and joyful. Oh, my God, you got it. Okay, what about this one? "On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a partridge." I got you. Got every single one of you. No one could see that. It didn't have the words joy in it, but you wanted to sing it anyway. Because it's just a great song. Not really. How many of you would agree if there was ever a time that we needed some joy in the world? It's about now. How many of you would agree? You know, I switch on the news and the last I heard, listen to this one, our energy resources are going to run out. If we keep using the energy of this earth, we are going to run out of energy and resources in 25 years. Okay, and God bless you guys. Have a great night tonight. See you later. How about this one? Some of you may have read this as well. The earth is going to be hit by a meteorite called Bennu. Did you know that? And last month, NASA and its allies decided that the way to stop this meteorite from hitting us is by sending a nuclear weapon and blowing it up. Sounds like something out of a movie, doesn't it? Look it up. Once again, thanks for coming tonight. We really appreciate it. They've just established, listen to this one, they've just established an alert system that will give us, wait for it, 5 days' notice of the earth's destruction. 5 days, you've got 1 week, guys. Imagine that, Monday, by the way, Friday, we're out of here. How many of you would go to work? Be honest, would any of you? No, okay. Polar ice is melting, water levels are rising, Masters is closing, what's going on? What is going on in this earth? Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. I've got some great news for you. God knows about every single one of those things that I just talked about, yet God would still say, "Joy to the world." It's not like God says, "Joy to the world. Oh, no, there's a meteorite coming. Sorry about that. I got that wrong." God still says that we ought to have great joy. There is great news that's going to bring great joy. I don't know about you. When I hear that word joy, there's no doubt about it. Sometimes you see that word as like joy. I got joy. It's like, really? What have you been smoking? No. Can I just elaborate a little bit on this word joy? Because it's not a wimpy, wishy-washy, fairy tale, touchy-feely, girly, wordy, littly-diddly Ned Flanders word. It's not. It's not. It's actually, listen to what the word joy means. This is so powerful. It's the continual experience of being happy in your soul, even when things on the outside aren't going so well. Wow. Now come on. Who's up for a little bit of that? The continual experience of happiness in your soul, even when things out there aren't going so well. Hey, listen, there's a lot of new people in the room tonight, and I'm looking forward to meeting you. But right now, I don't know you intimately, but I do know something about every person in this room. We all have one thing in common in this room. Are you ready for it? We all want to be happy. Every single person, I don't even have to know you very well to say, oh, there's something I know about you. You want to be happy, don't you? I don't think anyone would say, no, man, you've misread me totally. No, oh, actually, well, I love being depressed. No, everybody wants to be happy. Isn't that the truth? We all want to be happy. You can use any word. You can use a word like satisfaction, fulfillment, pleasure, happiness, excitement, or you can use the word joy. Either way, we are all chasing this stuff called joy. And without it, listen, life is not very satisfying. We have some young guys in our church that have the privilege of traveling around our country and even internationally, and they film designer dream homes. And so they just continually go to the best homes in our country. And they said to me, Pastor Richard, you would be surprised. Some of the nicest homes are occupied by some of the saddest people. Wow. Do you know what that tells me? If you think that a great home, nothing wrong with having a great home, it's awesome. But if you think that's going to be the thing that satisfies your soul, you're in for a great surprise when you get to own that home. I'm telling you right now, you've got to start looking in a different place if you want real joy. Real joy. Do you know, some of us would know, and I don't want to get too dark because it's Christmas, but let's be honest for just for a moment. Most of us would know that right now there is an ice epidemic going on in our city, in our nation, and around the world. Can I ask you a question? Why are people doing that? You know, I don't agree with people taking ice or any other mind-altering substance. I don't agree with it. But you know what? I understand why people do it. I understand why they... Do you know what they're chasing? Happiness. People just want to be happy even if it kills them. Wow. They're so desperate to be happy, they're going to put a tablet into their body. They don't know who made it. They don't even know what's in it. But it may make me happy, so I'm going to take it. Wow. That's how much people need this stuff called joy. This isn't like joy. It's joy. Yeah. We need this stuff. And I love the fact that when Jesus came into the earth, the Bible says, an angel said, when Jesus comes, he's going to bring great news. What's the great news? That he's going to give you great joy. Give someone a high five beside you. Come on. That is so good. And let me tell you something. In a moment. Let me just say something. Let me tell you a truth. Are you ready for it? People aren't seeking truth. There's my truth. People aren't seeking truth. Let me tell you what every person is seeking. Happiness. Actually, if people were seeking truth, you wouldn't do anything that would harm you. But people don't care about the truth. If they think it will make them happy, they don't care what the truth is about the matter. They'll just do it anyway. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People aren't seeking truth. They're seeking happiness. Nothing wrong with that. Just where you're going to find your happiness is the difference. People will leave a relationship thinking that there may be more happiness over there. And so they'll leave this to go find more joy. People are looking for joy, friends. They make huge decisions based on it. Listen, some people steal things, thinking that once they get that thing, it'll bring them some joy. That's how desperate people are for this stuff. But listen, Jesus said something that blows my mind, and you find it in John chapter 10, verse 10. It's going to be up on the screen. I'd love you to read it with me. Watch this. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what the devil wants to do to us. But Jesus says, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's Jesus' purpose for you tonight. He wants you to live a rich and a satisfying life. Wow. You don't have to twist God's arm. God, I want a rich and satisfying life. God says, what do you think I'm trying to do? You don't have to twist God's arm for that. Some of us have got this concept that God wants to make us miserable. No. Jesus said, I've come to give you a rich and satisfying life. But listen, can you do it my way? And not the way the world tells us to do it. Because his way will last. It's a continual joy. And listen, the shepherds dropped everything because they heard that if they followed a star, they will actually find some joy there. They dropped everything. Do you know, there was a couple of young people. I was preaching this message off this platform. A similar message to this. It was a few months ago. And two teenagers came into that church service. I didn't know them, never met them before. They didn't even know each other. And they were in our church service. And I was speaking. And at the end of the service, they both came and approached me separately at different times. And they said to me, Pastor Richard, can I just be really honest with you? I said, sure, please. And they said, This week, individually, they said the same thing. This week, I was planning to end my life. And as a last-ditch effort, I thought, someone invited me to church. I thought, why not go? And so they came and they said if they didn't find something in this church service, they were going to end their life this week. They had already planned how they were going to do it. Can you believe that? And I said, and now? And they said, well, after what you've told us, that God's got a plan and a purpose for my life and that God wants to be involved in my life. Both of those young people are still alive. They're actually in this church service. One of them's in this service and one was in the last. That's the power of joy, friends. That's the power of what I'm talking. This is not just a nice, happy, clappy message. This is the absolute truth. This message keeps people alive. This message keeps marriages alive. It keeps a relationship between a father and a mother and a father and a son. It keeps it alive, friends. It's joy. These wise men traveled afar, it says, to follow a star. Why did they follow the star? Believing that at the base of that star there was going to be a savior, and in that savior there was going to be joy. The star. God is very kind to us, you know. He allows a star to rise to capture our attention. He allows a star to rise to capture our attention because at the base of that star you'll find the Savior, and in the Savior you'll find joy. You know, sometimes the star is the person sitting right beside you because they are the person who invited you here tonight.
Yeah, right.
I still remember the name of my star, the person who spoke to me. You know, we call these moments star moments. Do you know, for some people, it's a negative doctor's report. That's the star that rises. It's unfortunate. But you know, sometimes that's what captures your attention. And all of a sudden, someone who's never really cared about God, all of a sudden, when they get the negative doctor's report, it's all of a sudden, it's what is life all about?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they come to Jesus, and then they find the joy that they never had their whole life. And now they found it because of that star.
Right.
Sometimes it's a negative relationship that takes place. Sometimes these things happen. God doesn't cause it, friend, but God will use it.
Yes. Yeah.
And God will allow a negative situation to arise. He doesn't cause it, but he allows it. And all of a sudden, you end up with the joy that you never had your entire life. God allows it, my friends. You know, for me, my star rose when I was 14 years old. And everyone say, but Pastor Richard, you've changed. Please repeat after me. But Pastor Richard, you've changed. But Pastor Richard, you've changed. Okay, great. I'm glad you know that I've changed. Because when I was 14, I was riding motorbikes illegally on the street. Actually, I was on the back and my friend was at the front. And we were riding around 4 o'clock in the morning on a motorbike. And all of a sudden, there was a policeman standing in the middle of the street telling us to stop. And my friend thought it'd be a great idea to try and run the policeman over. And so he tried to run him over, and so he gets out of the way. Well, lo and behold, thank you very much, my good friend. Now we are being chased by a helicopter, police cars, and the dog squad. Literally, no exaggeration, sincerely, we were being chased. It's not a good thing to do, to try and run over a policeman. So I'm 14 years old. We are now in the back of Mooney Pond somewhere. We're in someone's backyard hiding from the police. 14 years old. My mum's in the room. I forgot about that. And that was just a joke, guys. You thought I was going to say something, yeah. And then I went home and everything was great. And I did. Okay. Anyway, truth be told, my friend and I, we sort of turned our backs to each other. I'll tell you why we turned our backs to each other in a moment. And I prayed a prayer, not from here, but from there that day. Because when I could hear the dog squad coming, and this was my prayer, God, I promise, if you get me out of this, does this prayer sound familiar to anybody? Ladies that have had children in the labor ward? Yeah, this prayer sounds very familiar, doesn't it? I've heard you. Father, this is my prayer. Father, if you get me out of this, I promise I'll become a priest. Maybe not priest. I love my wife a little bit too much to do that, but I'm a priest of some sort anyway. But tell you what, I thank God for that moment because it turned my heart. I'll tell you why we turned our backs, by the way, because I said to my friend later on, what did you do when you turned your back? He goes, mate, I prayed to God if he got us out of this. So we were praying the same prayer. Maybe God answered his prayer, not mine. I don't know. All I can tell you is this. I thank God for that moment because it set me on a journey of asking God into my life. Because I think God holds you to those prayers, by the way. Beware what you pray. Is anyone single? You don't need to yell out. Maybe you can. Why not? Yeah, why not? Let's do this. Any singles in the room? Yeah, okay. Usually get that reaction. Yeah, sure. It's not a disease, by the way. Okay? Not a disease. Let's just assume you're not single for a moment. If you know someone that's single, have a look at this article that I found. Look at this. This is a great reason to chase down your star. The reasons why happiness is the most attractive quality. Do you want to get someone into your life? Get some joy into your life. Get some joy. Nobody wants to go out with someone who's sitting in a corner, misery all over them, upset, looking like they're angry about something. If you want to have an attractive quality in your life, get some joy into your life. And Jesus tonight says to you that he's more than willing to fill your life with joy so that we can leave this place full of joy. Is anyone hearing what I'm saying tonight? This is the part I love the most. Watch this. It says there's going to be some good news that's going to produce great joy, and listen to it, and it's for all people. Listen, it doesn't say, and it's for good people. Because some of you are thinking, this is a great message for all the good people in the room, but I'm a bad person, or I'm a sad person, or whatever it may be. I want to tell you right now, in heaven, God is looking down saying, this gift of joy is for everybody in the room, for everyone. I don't know who you are, I don't know what your needs are, but God does. And all you got to do is simply say yes. But friends, I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you that there was a road, a process to joy. The Bible talks about it. I'm going to show it to you in a moment. For some of you, you may not have seen things like in the Bible like this. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says this. It says, for the kingdom of God, it's not about eating and drinking. In other words, it's not about what you're putting into your mouth and the foods that you're eating or not eating. He says, the kingdom of God is these things. It's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you repeat after me? It's righteousness, it's peace and it's joy. Okay, this side of the room, it is righteousness, it's peace and it's joy. That's the road. Let me explain that to you. Some of you don't even know what that means. I'm going to explain it to you really, really clearly. Righteousness is this. The way you get joy is when you understand that you can be made right with God. That's what righteousness is. Very hard to have joy in your life when you think God doesn't like you very much. Righteousness is Jesus was born and he then died. Why? So that he could pay the price for your sin so that when your sins are forgiven, wait for it, you can look God in the eye and not feel guilty. That's how joy is produced in your life. When you know that you know that you know that you are right with God. When you know that, something happens inside of you. Imagine I was to give you a gift today and it was all wrapped up and you open up this gift and it's a beautiful box and on top of the box it says forgiveness. And as you open this box, every mistake, every regret, anything that you feel like you've ever done that was wrong, all of a sudden you feel it literally lifting off your life. It's called forgiveness. Imagine I gave you a box and you could do that. You opened it up and all of a sudden you just went, wow, I don't feel guilty anymore. Friends, the box has a name. His name's Jesus. And he can do that for you. He can do that for you no matter what you've done, where you've been, the guilt that the enemy loves to bring. And he tells you that you're not good enough because you've been divorced and you haven't been a great mom and you haven't done enough. And all those things just lift off you as you know that Jesus has made a way for us to be right with God. Friends, that's the first step. Listen to the second step. It says righteousness and then it was peace. What's peace? Knowing that God is in control. Do you know when you know God's in control of what's going on in your life? Do you know it brings a peace to your life?
Yeah,
it brings a peace. I don't want to rub salt into an old wound, but I'll do it anyway. I remember a few years ago, I think it was 1999 if I remember correctly, it was a Carlton Essendon game. And the Bombers have been doing well all year. Really, they probably would have run the grand final, but they were playing Carlton. Did I mention they were playing Carlton? And really, I was just humouring myself, just sort of watching this game, thinking there's no way we're going to win. Well, lo and behold, Carlton are 1 point down, and it's getting toward the end of the game, and there was an Essendon player. His name escapes me. What's his name? Wallace. Was running toward goal, and I'm telling you now, as a Carlton supporter, I thought, We are done. We're finished now. And as he was getting closer and closer and closer and closer, I found myself literally on the carpet in front of the TV, yelling at the TV. My heart was pounding out of my chest. I'm yelling, I'm sweating. I can't believe that we're even this close to being in the game. I thought it's going to be over, and I'm sort of yelling at it like as if I'm going to make a difference in my lounge room. And I'm yelling, and all of a sudden it dawns on me, this game's 2 years old. You're watching it on video. You know how the game ends. I was like, that's right. Yeah, I know how it ends. Carlton wins the game. And I think sometimes that's how God wants you to do life. You're going through some stuff. You're feeling like your heart's coming out of your chest. But God says, relax, sit back on your couch. I know how it ends. You're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. You don't need to stress out. It's going to be good. Get some joy into your life. And it was amazing. When I got up off the couch, I just went and sat back down again. And I just went, let it play out. And the Carlton player grabs him and tackles him to the ground. And then Eddie Maguire, Carlton are in the grand final. Carlton. Sorry, am I really rubbing it in now? Football? Okay, let's just move right along. When you know you're right with God, when you know he's in control, do you know what you end up with? Joy.
Yeah. Right.
Righteousness, peace, joy. When you know your sins are forgiven, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. No matter what obstacle comes your way, you know you can overcome them. Do you know how you end up when you got all this in your spirit? Can I tell you how you end up? Happy.
Yes.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. That's how you end up. Do you know why we love that song? Because we're miserable watching other people be happy. No, it's time that we are the people like that are happy. Amen. Clap along if you feel like you're a room. What does that even mean to be a room without a roof? But who cares? We just want to be happy. Hey, listen, my desire is that you would leave this place. If you're still at work, I want you to go to work on Monday and you walk in and you're like, woo! And people are like, man, where have you been? It's like, I've been to Lifehouse Church and they told me that I can have joy in my life. So you guys can just like, yeah! Come on. Imagine the students walking in, instead of half depressed, they're like, woo, teacher. Do you know what I love about this sort of joy? Do you know what I love about it? It can't be stolen from you. But listen, there is a warning from the Word of God. Jesus warns us. He says, but listen, it can't be stolen, but you can give it away. Have a look at what Jesus says. I'm just going to prove this to you. John 16:22. And so with you, Jesus is talking about when he's going to return to heaven. He says, now is your time of grief. You're going to be a little bit upset because I'm going away. He says, but I will see you again, and no one will take away your joy. Hey, it's not something you got to worry about every morning thinking, oh, has it left me? No, no, no. You don't have to worry about that. Did you give it away?
Yeah.
Right. You know, I've got joy in my life. I'm a pastor of a church. You'd think I'd have joy in my life most of the time. And I had a Toyota four-wheel drive, and it used to use about 180 litres of petrol. That's how much it used to hold. And I remember when they started this sort of 10 cents per litre deal. You know, the 10 cents per litre? If you've got a shopping docket and... So I filled my car right up with 180 litres of petrol, and I went into the service station and I pulled out the big docket. I went, man, I'm going to rot this system. And so I handed over my docket and I saw the discount only on 100 litres. I said, excuse me? I put 180 litres. She said, yes, sir, but the discount only applies to the first 100 litres. I said, where does it say that? She goes, right there. I said, oh, okay. I'm not happy. So I grabbed my stuff and I walked out, and I was a little bit, I honestly was upset about it. Honestly, I was a little bit upset about it, and a lot upset about it. And I walked out and God said to me, Richard, what's your joy worth? And I said, Lord, it's priceless. You know, I was being spiritual with God. You know when you get spiritual? God, it's priceless. And God said, well, that's not true because you just gave it away for $7. I did. I honestly gave it away for $7. I honestly was upset. I'd lost my joy. No, I didn't lose it. I gave it away. I gave it to the petrol attendant. I gave it to him. I didn't give it to him as in give it to him. I gave it. You know what I mean? I gave it to him. I gave him the joy for $7. And some of you are going, Pastor, shit. Come on, let's be honest. Some of you have lost your joy because you couldn't get a car park close enough. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Come on. Keep it honest. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. If I was to drive around High Point, I'd see a lot of your joy right there. Oh, there's that person's joy. There it is. Come on. Yeah. Be honest. If I went to some cafes and sat at some tables, I'd find your joy there because the latte wasn't strong enough. I asked for a double shot, trim latte, soy milk with chocolate on top with a banana. Come on, we all lose our joy. We give it away for silly stuff. Listen, this Christmas, next year, let's make a decision. This joy is mine. I'm holding on to it. Yeah, friend, it's the thing that will take us from one level to another. If you believe what I'm saying, give the Lord a huge round of applause. Come on.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.